We are. So much for the music, huh? Guess we're not having a musical interlude this morning. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. Welcome to We the People, brought to you by the Reading Tea Party. We're at KCNR 1460, home of Free Fire Media, Shasta Reading. Hello, everybody.
We have a full house today. We have a lot of people in the studio, which is super fun.
Usually
we talk to nobody. Today we've got Linda from North State Consultants, who's going to tell us all about what North State Consultants does.
And we have Derek.
Don't give me that look.
And we have Derek Wright, who is our co-host today. He's going to be giving us a youth perspective on the political climate, the economy, and what it's like to be 19 and looking for a job right now.
Yeah, no pressure, Derek. We want you to cover an entire age group, everything about them. Everything everyone thinks.
All right, see what I can do.
And then we have Chandler, our engineer in here, who's 27. He's a veteran, and they're starting a new program tonight at 8 o'clock.
8 p.m., Sovereign Minds starts tonight, first show.
Looking forward to what's it about?
The first show tonight is going to be about the Federal Reserve.
Excellent. Tune in, everybody. Everybody needs to know this.
Probably won't fill a whole hour, though. Right? You know, it's just the Federal Reserve.
That's no problem. We'll be numerous hours.
And then we've got Erin Reznor calling in around 8:30, and she's 25 and a business owner and a mother. And all these folks are kind of aware of what's going on around them, which is sometimes unusual for that age. So they're going to give us a perspective on how it is that they're aware and why they think others may not be.
Absolutely. And then I wanted to put a plug in for next week. Next Sunday morning at 8 o'clock, if you are not up, I want you to check the archives afterward, because we have Kevin McGarry, the author of Instanity. I'm not misspeaking. It's actually a combination word, instant and insanity. His thoughts are that what we've done in our culture with some of our political practices and stuff are causing huge problems. Little bio on him: Mr. McGarry is an African-American with strong roots in voting Democratic. He's a member of the NAACP. He confirms that while current party platforms and progressive agendas for health care, education, and abortion have provided lofty rhetoric for the Democratic Party, they actually result in debilitating and oppressive social agendas and schemes that only perpetrate further enslavement of the underprivileged and the underserved. So that ought to be fairly hot.
Yeah, and I think that's going to turn a few heads.
Actually.
And a table or two.
Yeah, it's a program that you might want to send to a friend or a relative. I know I've got a couple on my list.
I think we all do. That's great. So Linda's going to talk to us a little bit about some of the veterans' activities coming up.
Well, first of all, I would just like to say thank you to all the veterans out there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we love
them. It's been a wonderful week with all the different activities that's been going on, and let's keep it up. I want to remind everybody that we have Remember November Food Drive still going. And we are being helped out with Missing in America Project and AmVets Post 4. This Saturday, the 20th, we've got Christmas for the Troops down at the fairgrounds. And so I'd like to see everybody attend that. It's a lot of fun.
That's a great family event. I know at our Tea Party meeting on Monday, they showed us a video from last year, and there were whole entire families, so that's a great way to get the kids out and get involved.
Oh, yeah, the kids have a lot of fun with it. It's a blast to go through the line, package as much as you can in the boxes, stuff it in there, get to the end of the line, they tape them up and stack them to go. The $12 for the tickets for the dinner is just for the postage, so we can get all the boxes over there to the troops, which is awesome. I also want to let people know that I'm doing holiday cards for the troops. So if you have extra holiday cards or want to buy some, drop them off. I send them out to churches and different people to sign, and then we ship them overseas. Last year we did about 130 cards. So
that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really nice.
That helps with them over there.
That's nice. So if people are not able to attend the Tea Party meeting, they could send anybody with any of these things food for the food drive that goes directly to the Veterans Food Pantry, and also cards, those kinds of things. They could bring them to Bonneview Baptist anytime between 6 and 8 on a Monday night and just drop them off.
Cool. Yeah.
They could drop them off at North State Consultants, 1347 East Cypress.
Right. And we have 12 other locations that they can drop the food off around town.
Awesome. Now, can that be found on our website?
Yes, it can. It's all posted on there. So just look it up.
ReadingTeaParty.com.
Yeah, we've got two or three down in the Anderson area, like Papa Murphy's, Kids Meat, Owens Pharmacy. So we've got them staggered out throughout the area.
Excellent.
That's great. Hey, I just wanted to let you guys know that if you wanted to call in this morning, the number's 530-605-4567. We have this this bad habit. We look at the phone number on the wall over here, but we don't tell you what it is.
Yeah, we want you to use your seventh sense and try to figure it out for yourself.
Yeah, figure out the phone number. So we're going to take a little break here. You're listening to KCNR 1460 AM, Shasta Redding, home of Free Fire Media.
Welcome back to We the People, brought to you by the Redding Tea Party at KCNR 1460, Shasta Redding, home of Free Fire Media. We the People is brought to you by Bill Miller Transport and North State Consultants. Thanks, guys.
Bill Miller, he takes things all over the place, and North State Consultants keeps our books straight. They keep a lot of people's books straight.
Yes, so, we do.
So, Linda, while you're here, who's watching Mark?
Oh, I'm not sure. It's Sunday morning, so maybe the other Linda is.
Yeah, whose day is it to watch him?
Yeah. Mark's got Linda the wife and Linda the sister to keep track of him over there at North State, so they're well run. Hey, I wanted to share with everybody an email that had come in to Linda, and it's one of those kinds of emails that's kind of hard to read, but I thought that people should hear it. For such a long time, people really have not recognized our veterans, and certain wars, people did not recognize our veterans.
Very true.
We had a member of our group actually pass away recently in an accident, a guy that wasn't very old, but it turned out he never stood during the recognition of veterans at our meetings because he didn't serve in combat, so he felt like he wasn't a real veteran. And so there are all sorts of things that go with being a veteran and being a citizen who wasn't a veteran, and how do we all handle all this stuff? And this man wrote to her and said, "Hi, Linda. I was surprised to find the thank you email from you this morning. This was the second surprise email for today. It's been 47 years since being discharged from the U.S. Air Force, and this is the first time I have ever been thanked on a personal level. May your day be joyous, and I want you to know that the thank you is very much appreciated." And I thought, you know what? Next time you see somebody wearing a, you know, not just a uniform, but maybe a hat that says something that gives you an idea that they're a veteran, stick out your hand and thank them. You might
That's
be the
right.
first one.
You know, and, yep. and one of my favorite sayings is, "We are free because of the brave." I don't think it can be said any simpler than that. You know, people may not believe in any particular war, but we need to believe in the people fighting it.
Yes, and we have to remember that our freedom isn't free. Somebody sacrificed somewhere for us.
Absolutely.
And ever since the beginning of time, that it's been that way. So.
Absolutely. My stepdad was serving, 50-some years ago, and has been a paraplegic ever since. But he was injured here, not actually in conflict. Although that injury and that whole incident, whatever it was, we don't really know the details of it. He's never actually shared that. But I believe he was a Purple Heart recipient. And yet,
awesome.
Nobody really knows that, and he doesn't talk about it because he wasn't in combat, so he doesn't feel like that was deserved or something. And I guess we just want to extend to all the veterans that if you haven't been thanked, we're really sorry.
Yes,
and
we
do
are.
Thank you.
We do thank you very much, and we hold you dear in our hearts.
Yep, and the families, too, because it's a massive sacrifice for families.
Yes, and, you know, we should talk a little bit about the people that are coming home now, you know, the troops. They're kind of having a hard time. It is one of the highest suicide rates that are coming out of Afghanistan right now. They're having a very hard time making the transition back to regular life. So I would like to extend a warm thank you to those guys. And if there's anything that we can do, and not just the guys, the girls, too.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's everybody across the board.
And their families.
And their families.
I don't know about all Tea Party groups across the country, but I do know that the Tea Party groups in Northern California are, 30% to 40% at any given meeting, you know, when we ask our veterans to stand so we can thank them. I mean, half the room stands up.
Yeah.
Yep. We have a lot of veterans. So if you're out there and you're listening and you're thinking, yeah, I wonder if these guys, you know, really are doing what they say, if you want to meet a lot of really nice people and a lot of really, really nice nice people who know what you've been through or what you're going through at the time in the veterans thing. This would be a good place for you.
Yeah. We have a lot that's going on that's outreaching to them and giving them the information that they need to help.
Absolutely.
And just making the connection with other veterans is a real good therapy for them.
Yep. And this this station at KCNR does tons of programming and lots of services dedicated to veterans, which is great.
Oh, yeah. Carl was there last night at the movie at Cascade Theater and talked. So that was really good. Yeah, they're really involved here, which is really nice to see because we don't always get that in the community. So.
And that was last night's program about the Veterans Cemetery?
No, that was actually a movie about a local guy from Reading here that went to high school at Enterprise that was sent over to Afghanistan to one of the hottest posts over there. He was with the 173rd Airborne. 15 of the guys were dropped in one of the hottest valleys over there. I believe they lost 3. And the movie was the actual footage of what they encounter over there.
And what they actually go through.
Yeah, actually what they go through. Under fire all the time, the mental stress. You know, they lose one of their guys, and then, you know, they only get a few moments to for silence, and then they got to go back and get on the front lines. And that's really hard for them to go through.
Super hard.
Yeah.
My brother was a Green Beret, or is a Green Beret. He served in the 80s. He was in Beirut when, I know no one was in Beirut then, but he was. I guess we can say that now. It's long enough. But he came back. He was different when he came back.
It definitely changes them. You know, they have a lot to deal with out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think a lot of people actually realize what it's like to be placed in their shoes over.
Absolutely.
Whether it was Afghanistan, Vietnam, Korea, I mean, several places.
Or Grenada, the war to end all wars.
Right.
You know, my husband and I watched The Hurt Locker the other night. I don't know if any of you have watched that, but it is, it's a pretty powerful movie, and it really shows what these guys go through, and more than that, how difficult it is to come back home and have very little purpose in the way that they did when they were overseas, and how some of them actually go back.
Yeah.
Because that's where the camaraderie is, and that's where the people are that really understand.
Well, yeah, they have a hard time adjusting, so a lot of them will re-up and go back over for another tour. Because they have a hard time in civilian life.
Well, look at how many of us are having a little hard time with the way the country's going. Can you imagine serving in the military, serving your country, and then coming back and looking at what's going on around here politically, which is kind of where we're headed after this topic. And what a got nice dovetail there. So before we do that, we need to take a little break here so we can fit in some advertisers. You are listening to KCNR 1460 AM, Shasta Redding, the home of Free Fire Media.
Welcome back to We the People, brought to you by Bill Miller Auto Transport and North State Consultants. We're at KCNR 1460, Shasta Redding. Feel free to call in at 605-4567 or join our chat room at www.kcnr1460.com. You know, we're going to open up this segment. You know, we're talking a little bit about the veterans, and we're going to sort of segue into our youth perspective on everything that's going on right now. But a real special person with us this morning is Chandler. He's here every Sunday morning. He's our sound guy, and he kind of keeps us on task and helps us get this show through the hoops every Sunday morning. But Chandler has sort of a unique experience, and he's a veteran as well. And he's going to kind of plug in a little bit and tell us a little bit about his time overseas in Iraq, and maybe he can highlight a little bit about what it was like to come back and transition back into civilian life. Good morning, Chandler.
Good morning. Well, as far as transitioning, it's quite the transition. I did 3 tours, 2 to Iraq and 1 to the Pacific Islands, and that was my 3rd tour. And when I came home, I actually had gotten out 1 week after I got home into just civilian life, and big transition.
Now, you're 27.
I'm 27.
Now, when you came back, did you have family in the area that you that you kind of hooked up with when you came back?
Mm-hmm. My whole family, basically.
Okay.
My whole immediate family.
Okay.
So you were when you went into the Marine Corps when you were how old?
I went to boot camp straight out of high school when I was 19.
Okay.
It was August of 2002 is when I went to boot camp.
So when you came back, it was almost like coming back. I mean, you were economically kind of like you just got out of college or something. You know, you had to go find a place to live, and did you have a car? I mean, how does all that? You have to just start over.
I just came home. I moved. I lived with my parents for a while.
Cool.
And they took care of me, and so as far as that aspect, that wasn't too hard.
Mm-hmm. Now, was it difficult for them and for you to reconnect on an emotional level when you came back from serving two tours in Iraq? How was it to reconnect with them?
Well, it wasn't hard. I mean, okay. It was my family. You know, we kept in contact the whole time. And
what about what I saw with my brother when he came back? All the guys who didn't serve, they were still goofing off. I mean, they were just they had kind of done nothing but goof off, and here he had rushed into this very different situation. And when he came back, not a lot of relatability.
Yeah, it's tough to relate with people when you come back.
Some of your old buddies, you you find it's like
nowadays, it's not as bad, you know. Like when I first came home, it's definitely just such a different world, you know.
Absolutely. And so all the things that are happening politically now, with your based on your service and all that, is that part of what has propelled you to do the show with Nate on Sundays?
I think so. I'm not satisfied with how our government is handling things right now, us. They're doing a very poor job.
Now, Chandler, how do you think the government is dealing with the military?
Well, as far as like with the VA.
Well, you can talk about the VA, and as far as our administration's attitude toward the military, or how they value the importance of the military.
Well, I can talk about the VA. It's not bad care. I mean, it takes about a month to get a doctor's appointment when you go request for one.
Okay.
And it's kind of if you ask me, they're way underfunded and way understaffed.
Mm-hmm. Gee, could that be universal health care we're talking about possibly down the road?
Yeah.
I mean, it's government run health care, so if you talk about the VA and the kind of care and the time frames. Government-run healthcare is government-run healthcare, so that potentially
kind of, but
could
it's,
be.
It's different. Like, where you are? Are you served out of Reading? As far as your VA medical type things.
Yeah.
But see, now my stepdad, who has to go to the spine center down in Palo Alto, and I spent 4 months there when he was having something done back in 2008 with my mom, and going there every single day, I saw. Just a really a different level of care, I guess, just a different level of service in the spine center than I did in the big hospital. The big hospital was like a hospital, and people were in and out of there. The spine center, people are there for almost a year sometimes.
Yeah.
It was very much like, I don't know, it was like a dormitory. Everybody knew everybody. Everyone knew other people's families because people didn't really come and go from there as much. Also, I've heard from other veterans there that, like the spine center, the level of care there is just quite good, much better than like a walk-in type of thing if you don't have anything big going on.
Yeah, probably.
So now, okay, so what compelled you to go into the service?
I was always fascinated with the military growing up, and my father, he was a Marine also, and then I joined my senior year. It was right after 9/11, and then
did that impact your decision too?
That was like the deal closer.
That was the deal closer. Yeah.
And Marines was a deal closer because your dad was a Marine, right?
Yeah.
That's
Marines
cool.
all the way. So,
do you keep in touch with some of the guys you served with?
Yeah, we talk mm-hmm. from time to time. We actually had a, I actually couldn't make this, but they had a reunion in September of this year in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty fun.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, to at least see everybody and see what's going on with their lives and all that stuff. And with yeah. technology, I'm sure, you know, email and
yeah.
All that stuff. Do you find what's the connect with guys, like when you meet guys that are like World War II vets, say for instance? Totally different circumstance, totally different kind of war, but same
really,
deal.
Don't really know any World War II vets. I've met a few Vietnam vets,
mm-hmm.
and I hit it off pretty well with them.
Good.
So.
Interesting, because you look back on, you know, we didn't, during any of those times, we didn't even have, you know, there were no microwave ovens, no cell phones, there was, I mean, the communication was
yeah.
primitive.
Yeah.
Super primitive.
Yeah.
And it's funny because
compared
you just,
today, yeah.
yeah, you just don't get the real life experience, you know, not back then. Now we feel like we're right, I mean, we're not right in there with you, but at least we're so much more aware of what's going on.
Yeah, that's very good. You know, so, like,
okay.
like what you're saying about the Vietnam vets, you know, they... That's
yeah, they got kind of a rough.
So terrible how they were treated when
yeah,
they came home.
Pretty bad.
I couldn't imagine that. I mean, if I got treated mm-hmm. like that
yeah.
now, I mean, it would mess me up pretty bad.
Yeah, it'd be devastating to come home.
Devastating. Yes.
You know, and kind of along all these lines, but shifting gears a tiny bit, as people are looking at things they can do, for maybe they don't have anybody serving, but they want to help out. And mm-hmm. so, you know, Linda's coordinating all these different programs, you know, sending cards over, sending things
yeah,
over.
We send packages. We do Adopt a Soldier program. Mm-hmm.
It's, yeah.
What's awesome, like if you open a box with somebody you don't know, obviously, you know, if it's family, that's different.
It's
they know
so
you.
Nice. It's so nice getting packages.
But what's in it? Like, what's,
any
like, great
things,
that's in it?
My favorite things were socks.
Wow, yeah.
yeah. We had so many socks.
Yeah. We send silly string once in a while over there, and when I get a letter once in a while from them, it's like, hey, we had a blast with the silly string, so.
Can't go wrong with silly string.
Yeah,
until you have to clean it up.
Yeah.
yeah.
yeah. You know. So.
What else is cool? Open the box.
Let's see. I always liked beef jerky.
Mm-hmm.
I think still to this day, one of the best meals of my life was some teriyaki beef sticks.
Okay.
Wow.
That it was just I had a long day. I was on foot all day, patrol all day, and I came home to it was my first big care package. It was just sitting on my bed.
Nice.
And I opened it up and
you're all processed meat.
I was just starving and hadn't eaten in hours and ate those beef sticks. And
oh,
it was
that's
so
great.
Good. Yeah.
I know when my brother-in-law was in Vietnam, one of his favorite was tuna fish and root beer.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Ooh, in that order?
I think so.
Yeah.
But what to look forward to, you know?
Yeah.
Just a small can of tuna fish and a bottle of soda would
a
make
bit of
all
home.
The difference.
It's
yeah.
just a little
yeah.
bit of home.
That's cool. You know, because you hate to send things, you know, what we think might be neat might
yeah.
not be neat.
Yeah.
So, yeah, beef sticks and jerky, it'd be easy to care for. You don't have to refrigerate them.
That's easy, yeah.
You guys can take them with you.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Okay, things that aren't food, what's fun? Or useful.
One of my most favorite things that I had was a small dustpan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because it was so easy, and cleaning supplies are limited sometimes mm-hmm. over there.
It's nice to know, and they make such tiny ones.
Yeah, the simplest things that you wouldn't think are,
yeah.
you know,
did
nice
you
to
enjoy
have
the baby wipes?
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. they seem to really enjoy the yeah. baby wipes and
yeah,
things
keep,
like that. Yeah,
keep sending those.
I don't
so
do that thing.
So, did, you don't think
so serving
that.
In the military, did that just completely change your whole perspective on
oh, yeah.
on life?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah, I can't say yes enough.
And how cool that you come back and you are working for another Marine vet.
Yeah.
Carl Bott.
Yes.
That's wonderful. What
yep,
a great
Carl
what a great
and
match.
They have been very good to me.
Yeah, good.
I'm very happy with this job that I have. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, that
yes.
is.
Well, we're happy you're here.
Yeah,
for
it's
sure.
like old home week.
Yeah.
And I would like to add also, for those of you who are coming home, the best way to, and if you're having troubles with it, with some of the things that you saw, the best way to handle it is just to talk with each other about it. Find someone else who's been through the same thing and talk with each other. A good friend of mine just got back from Afghanistan a few months ago. He just got out of the Marines, and we had the exact same job. We were both machine gunners, and we've been talking a lot lately, and it helps a lot.
That's very cool.
Speaking of which, are there support groups that we know about? Linda, are you aware of any support groups?
There is.
Websites, phone numbers?
There is a few, and I have them posted on the website, and I'll post them some more. I know that, like, AmVets Post 4 is looking for the younger veterans to join so that they can help out. Military Source 1 is a good source. They have 24-hour service for the veterans if they're in need and need to talk to somebody. But like I say, the AmVets is good. They can team up with other ones, hopefully, that are just coming home or around their age to help out with their problems.
Cool. And, you know, anybody out there that is dealing with or knows somebody who's dealing with the loss of limbs, you know, as far as being a paraplegic and all the transition to life in a wheelchair, my stepdad is the oldest living paraplegic vet in the state of California.
Wow.
He's been in a chair like 53, 54 years. He is a pro. He's got tons of resources, tons of ideas, does a lot of teaching and helping. He played wheelchair basketball all over the world with the VA games. Very, very, very knowledgeable and loves to share tips and tricks. I watched him at the VA hospital, you know, these new guys coming back. Charlie was a guy in another bed. He'd just come back from Iraq, and Don gave him all these, "Now, Charlie, you can't do this, you can't do that. Now, don't forget about this." And so nothing That's like having cool. a real person. So if anybody would like that, that kind of help, you can reach me at Erin, E-R-I-N, at ReadingTeaParty.com if you want to email me. I'll get you Don's info.
I have a couple books with a lot of resources, of local resources that I try to hand out to the veterans.
And what's the email to reach you through the Tea Party, Linda?
Veterans at ReadingTeaParty.com.
Great. Yeah. Excellent. Well, Chandler, thank you so much for filling in.
Yeah, of course.
You know, giving us some perspective from your point of view. You know, a young guy that served in the military, and you're concerned about our country and the direction that's heading, and nobody would know better than you.
I am. I'm very concerned.
Yeah. Thank you. Very concerned, and not just sitting around griping about
it. No, absolutely
you and,
not.
You and Nate are going to throw up some programs. Federal Reserve tonight. Yeah. Sovereign Minds at 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock tonight.
I'm definitely tuning in.
Same bat channel.
Great. Okay. Hey, so we're going to take a little break here, and when we come back, we'll get Erin Reznor on the line, and we're going to talk a little bit more
to Derek, since he hasn't gotten to say anything.
He's been sitting here for 40 minutes and not a peep out of him.
We have four microphones, so he's been kind of
almost
screwed.
Your turn, Garrick.
Hey, you know what? Phone number here is 530-605-4567 if you want to call in, 605-4567. You are listening to KCNR 1460 AM Shasta Reading, the home of Free Fire Media.
Welcome back to We the People, brought to you by the Reading Tea Party. The show is sponsored by Bill Miller Auto Transport and North State Consultants. You know, Bill Miller can transport any vehicle across the country, overseas, luxury vehicles. He does a lot of military vehicles, so if you have any reason to get your four wheels off the ground and somewhere else besides the local area, call Bill Miller, and his number is posted on our website at ReadingTeaParty.com. North State Consultants, our tax guy, keeps all the books straight. Linda, tell us very quickly what you guys do at North State Consultants.
Well, we cover a lot of different areas, but we help the taxpayer reduce their tax liability. We usually save on the typical return $5,000 to $10,000 for the taxpayer. So,
nice. And how can you be reached?
We can be reached at 221-0101. Of course, my brother is a big guru in that department. He loves to do tax audits and things like that. And financial planning we do when we set up corporations and businesses.
Great.
So we kind of cover the whole gamut. of everything that you need to know about your taxes. We do workshops to teach you how to keep your records.
Yep, I've taken a workshop. It was awesome.
Yeah, you learned a lot.
I did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, I've known more people that have said, you know what, I mean, this one guy, customer of ours, he said, geez, we've been audited 6 years in a row. I can't believe it. They're stripping us. It's all this money, blah, blah, blah. And I said, you got to go see my buddy Mark.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's right up his alley. You know,
Jim.
Yeah.
So Mark got him to tax court in Sacramento. The guy was panicked. They get down there. Mark flips open the big book, spins it around to the IRS and says, hey, look, all the stuff you're doing to this guy is not legitimate. You can't do that. He wound up getting money back. Yeah. Never audited him again.
Yeah. When the IRS sees Mark coming, they run scared.
Well, it's kind of fun because, like, I haven't seen the guy in, like, 6 years, and we ran into him in the grocery store. I was like, hey, how's that whole tax thing working out? He goes, it's awesome. I haven't had to pay him anymore.
Well, you know, you have to kind of know the rules of the game, and Mark's very good at that. You know, it's like playing football. Mm-hmm. If the other team what the rules are, I'm sure they're going to be real truthful with you. Just
and if you have that kind of guerrilla warfare mentality, that doesn't hurt you in the trenches either.
Yeah, that's true. Great. So,
well, great. So give Mark a call at 221-0101. Is that correct?
Yeah, and either Linda and I usually answer the phone and set the appointments.
Great.
So we can help you out if you got any tax issues or want to see if you can do any better on your tax returns. So
yeah, bring the old returns, especially if you've been having them done by some knucklehead who's using, you know, whatever. What do you call it? I was going to say QuickBooks.
TurboTax.
TurboTax.
Oh, come on. Yeah. You know, remember TurboTax.
Bring in your TurboTax return. Don't be like Geithner. Don't get busted when you become something important.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, we like to get the last couple of years of tax returns so that we can maybe look them over and maybe possibly amend them and help you out financially.
Yeah,
so.
I just dropped mine off. So Derek, good morning.
Thank you. I feel like I've walked onto the set of The View.
Yeah, but nobody's walked out of the room yet.
Oh, no, not
or
yet.
Use the B word.
Yeah, we don't cuss on this show.
Chandler's going for the button.
Just in case.
It's like, don't say it.
So, Derek, you are 19,
mm-hmm.
and you were homeschooled.
Yep.
And you are currently looking for employment.
Currently looking.
But we know you because we've seen you at rallies and at Tea Party meetings and at some of the election night coverage and parties and so forth a couple of weeks ago. So my question to you is, how is it that at 19 you're aware?
Well, that's a good question, probably because I feel like I've had to be aware. It's all the stuff that's going on is right in front of your face. How can you not see it unless you're glued to your iPhone or your Game Boy or whatever, and once I kind of unplugged from that, then I kind of started seeing the world and what's going on. And
well, your grandma Roberta, she's the gateway to all that is politics, too. So
oh, yeah,
that doesn't hurt.
One of the many gateways, but yeah.
Yeah, but that's cool. I ran into you the last time I saw you was a few weeks ago at the town hall that Carl and Linda did at Tobacco and Brew on Prop 19.
Yeah,
and you had a lot of opinions on that, which was cool because a lot of people have trouble saying what they think.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I was going to just chat a little bit about a poll that I pulled up on a website last night. It's called millennialpolitics.com, and it's specifically geared around the youth. And they took a poll on the most important political priority to young people, and I'd be interested in your take on this. But the number one priority was education, followed by civil rights, environment, abortion, church and state, drugs, taxes, guns, globalization, and campaign finance, in that order.
Wait, they like all those things?
Nope, they place them in order of priority. So their number one priority is education.
Fixing it or getting rid of the Department of Education or...
Now, you tell me.
Well, I know that ever since the federal government got in the education business, education has been rapidly declining. And the more money you throw at it, it seems the worse it gets.
Now, you were homeschooled.
Mm-hmm.
And at what age were you homeschooled, and how do you feel that experience was?
I've been homeschooled since kindergarten.
Okay.
And, well, it helps that I wasn't brainwashed by the public school propaganda. And so I kind of learned more real history, and we actually went over basics like reading, writing, and arithmetic. Who knows?
Okay.
So you didn't have the health class with all the all the all the stuff that goes with that these
no.
days.
Yeah. Well, you know, my brother is a teacher, younger kids, and he was just telling me last night that one of his jobs now, literally his job description entails filling out the forms for the parents to apply for food stamps.
Wow.
Of the children that are in his class. I mean, that's part of his job now.
Mm-hmm. Brutal.
Wait, he's a teacher?
And he's a teacher.
Wow.
He's in the public school system. So, yeah, I think that the public school system has gone well beyond you know, the basic reading, writing, and arithmetic, and it's gone into social work. He feels like a social worker.
It's come to Soviet-style propaganda. That's what it's come down to.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What's the biggest difference? Now, obviously, you know, you don't just hang out with people who went through homeschool.
Oh, well, actually, I hung out with mostly homeschoolers, but I also hung out with public school kids. But most of them were kind of in church, so, you know, they still were somewhat sane. But I kind of noticed some of the public school kids who didn't go to church and weren't involved that way, it seemed like they were kind of, I noticed a huge disconnect between them.
In what way? Like, I mean, I went to Catholic school as a kid. And so, you know, obviously I'm walking to school. One, it was funny, to walk to the Catholic school, I had to walk past the public school kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, there's always all this name calling on either side of the street, you know, the usual stuff. But I found that we did a lot more in English, specifically in English, than the kids in public school were doing. I don't know why. I don't know anything about the politics of public school back then, but it's just something that we spent a lot more time on. Have you noticed any of that kind of stuff? You said the history thing, that your history was slightly different than what kids were getting in public school.
Well, I've never been into public school, so I can't really compare. But it seems like, you know, I was taught about the founding of the country, about the pilgrims. You know, just kind of more the whole story, not the white people are bad and the Indians are good kind of deal.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't politically brainwashed like that. So I got, well, I feel like anyway, a truer reflection of actual history.
Yeah.
Not the revisionist stuff that that is going on today.
You skipped the part about how Christopher Columbus was a hater.
Oh, yeah.
You know, my sister-in-law teaches middle school, and I don't know, about 3 weeks ago we were having a conversation about what they're teaching, and they teach very little history and very little science because those are not the areas that the state is testing for.
And if your school wants to get funding, I mean, all these things are tied together.
Yeah.
You know, it's definitely not teachers all sitting in a back room somewhere going, hey, let's skip some stuff and, you know, not teach that. That's obviously not the case. But as the funding and all those things that drive it change, these guys are forced to... My mom taught fifth grade for a number of years, and she's a great teacher, but holy cow, one year she had all these kids being mainstream. She had one kid who wet his pants all the time. She had another kid whose target for the entire year was to be able to trace his name with his finger. That was what his you know, target for the year. And she had 34 other kids, and it was just her. So you look at that,
bad.
Just the demands that are being made on teachers these days are huge. But you know, when we come back from this little break here, we need to find out from you why politics is interesting and compelling for you, and why it's maybe not for a lot of other folks in your age bracket. And I'll just confess right now, it was because I was goofing off. I wouldn't be sitting here like you are.
and I'm sure you have friends that are not as aware as you are.
All right,
and you
yeah.
probably know why. So that'd be great to talk about.
We're going to pry that out of Derek here momentarily. But for the time being, we're going to thank Bill Miller and North State Consultants for sponsoring this program. And we're going to thank KCNR for giving us some airtime here on 1460 AM, Shasta Reading, the home of Free Fire Media.
Back to We the People, brought to you by the Reading Tea Party. We're at KCNR 1460, Shasta Reading, home of Free Fire Media. You know, before we get back to Derek, I just wanted to give you a couple more interesting percentages on this youth poll that I found online last night. One of the questions asked was, is our military strong enough? 47% said yes, but 53% said no.
Interesting.
Does the country need a significant and permanent tax cut? 55% yes, 45% no. And do you think this will be a generation of voters? 54% say yes, 46% say no.
And what's the age range on this?
18 to 25.
Interesting.
It is.
So, okay, Derek, what do you find between, because we don't see a whole lot of people who are under 20, specifically, mm-hmm. on Mondays, and I realize, you know, there's school and all these things, but you, I've seen you at a lot of different political things. Why, you know, why that, and where are your friends in, you know, why aren't they there?
Well, I just kind of going there to learn about the process and see what makes people tick, too, and, mm-hmm. you know, just see everything that's going on, and I guess the young people I know, they're busy with college or busy having fun and partying. I don't think they're starting to see that the storm is coming, but they haven't quite seen it yet because they're still being taken care of by their parents, you know. So as far as their financials, as far as finances go, mm-hmm. they're all taken care of. They've always been taken care of. But I think the ones that have kind of had to be more independent and get out there on their own, they're starting to see what's happening, especially when they have to go find jobs and uh-huh. stuff like that. So.
Yeah, how is the job market?
I mean, Reading, obviously, the unemployment, you know, is like at 15%, so it's higher than the national average. But there are some jobs, I think, coming up. It's just a matter of getting them.
And so when you start looking at going to work and then trying to afford an apartment and a car
yeah.
and this and that and the other,
mm-hmm.
daunting task.
Yeah, it starts to add up, especially when the cost you have to pay the government as far as insuring your car. Mm-hmm. And if you get pulled over for speeding, that's hundreds of dollars right there.
Now, how do you know about that?
Oh.
Read about it in a book somewhere.
Yeah, I just
No personal experience?
Well, some experience. But how I see it is the...
Okay, this is the view.
Yeah.
And with the economy tightening up, it's not only the people who are trying to pinch their pennies, but the government's not interested in pinching their pennies. They're more interested in pinching your pennies or taking
well put.
Yeah, Robert had written in, he said, don't forget to ask Derek about the government debt mounting for his unborn children to pay. I don't know that we necessarily want to get into the whole thing about your unborn children.
Yeah, you're only 19.
That's kind of personal, but but how do you feel about the whole debt thing?
Well, I think this latest debt commission, they had some good ideas, but overall it was pretty watered down and useless, I think. A lot of the debt is really the interest on the debt is monumental. Whether it's the debt we owe to the Chinese, a lot of that being interest, or it's the debt to the Federal Reserve. When the Federal Reserve is in charge of printing, when they buy our dollars mm-hmm. from the U.S. Mint, the U.S. Mint sells the dollars that they printed to the Federal Reserve for like something like 6 cents per paper. It doesn't even matter. It can be a $1 bill, $100 bill, $1,000 bill.
Doesn't really matter.
So the Federal Reserve buys up all those dollars, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And then they loan it back to you at interest.
Right.
Loan it back to our government. And that's where all that debt comes up. So really, that debt is really, I call the debt an illusion. I don't think we owe them that money. What we need to do is declare the Federal Reserve unconstitutional because only the Congress has the power to coin and regulate the money. So the Federal Reserve shouldn't even be in the business of monetary policy, especially since they're a private corporation. They're not even government-owned. And they have no accountability. They've never been audited in their almost 100-year history. And, in fact, Congressman Ron Paul last year tried to get an audit of the Fed, and he got a lot of people to co-sign his bill, but then they all chickened out last minute because they know where they're they know who's scratching their back. They know where their bread's buttered. So
yeah. Absolutely.
They don't want to go down that tunnel.
Okay, excuse me. You're only 19. I don't understand
no,
that.
No, but the funny part is they're waiting for Chandler to knock him off his stool. He's like, hey, you're killing our show.
Yeah. Yeah, tune in tonight at 8 p.m.
Tonight at 8 o'clock.
And, you know, on that note, you know, before we wrap up today, since we've got Derek in the studio, we can put him on the spot.
Uh-oh.
We sort of chatted about having a youth reporter, a man on the street, if you will, who will, from time to time, join us in the studio with reports back on topics of interest to the youth. And, you know, it seems like that might work out really well with you if you're sort of interested in doing that.
Is that like once a week, once a month?
Yeah, we can work it out.
You can even call in.
Call in.
You could even
call in. Yeah, you could be our roving reporter.
And we'd love to have people contact us at the Tea Party with ideas and things that they want to know about.
Absolutely.
We've got a lot of folks that want to know what the youth perspective is, and they're really interested in seeing the youth get involved, so you could be the representation.
Ideas for how to involve people who can't mm-hmm. come, because coming to meetings, obviously, is not the only way to be involved in helping.
Right.
So, you know, if you would take that as a kind of a special focus, and mm-hmm. as you talk to people, hey, what do you think about the Tea Party? What do you think they're doing? You know, do you like it? Do you not like it? Does it seem relevant? How could it be more relevant? Mm-hmm. We're interested in that.
Right.
We'd love to retool that segment of the thing. Mm-hmm. Hey, and before we leave the Federal Reserve thing, how'd you find out it wasn't part of the federal government?
I just did the research, and a couple of them.
Well, who told you?
Well, I've kind of self-taught. I like to research things, but when Ron Paul ran for president in 2008, and when he started talking about these issues that none of the other presidential candidates would even touch,
mm-hmm.
then that kind of opened my eyes, and then I started doing, and then after the presidential election was over, I was kind of a little depressed, but then I ended up doing my research just learning more about it.
You sure you weren't talking to my brother in the back room?
Yes.
Or Chandler.
This is like old home week in here.
Well, like-minded, huh?
You know, and if you have ideas for programs and people you want to hear, you can send them to 1460 at readingteaparty.com any old time. You can find us online at readingteaparty.com any old time as well.
And a special thank you to Linda and Derek for joining us.
Special thanks to all our veterans.
You got that right.
Thank you. Yep, we don't say it enough.
We love you all.
You are listening to KCNR 1460, Shasta Redding, home of Free Fire Media.